This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Monday podcast, covering Ipswich Town since 2015. I'm Richard Woodward, and you are tuned into the live reaction show, the ITFC Q&A show, where you set the agenda. So we want to hear from you in the chat. People are already, they've got their sun loungers, they've got their towels out of the sun loungers. They are reserving their questions straight away. So do get involved. We're available every week on video and eventually podcast audio. And joining me tonight, Joe Fares, who's already looking like he's researching stuff. So
I am. We are prepared. Ahead of me.
Joe is prepared for whatever you can throw at us. So good evening, folks. Joe, how are you?
Yeah, no, I'm good. Looking forward to chatting with some fellow ITFC fans for some informative chat this evening.
Irreverent chat. We've already got thumbs up on Facebook. Robert and Gary, thank you. We see you on Facebook. Thank you for that. And Paul, right off the bat, Paul Hayes asking us about what we get out of the Holy Loan deal to Cambridge. Joe, do you want to jump straight in?
It's only these emergency loans are sort of like rolling 7-day loans. In this league, a lot of teams, their second choice keeper doesn't really, they maybe just have a youth player on the bench or just somebody who they don't expect to play any games. And I think if you don't have a keeper on the books effectively, who's got, I think they've got to play only like 5 senior games in the Football League, then if you've got a keeper who's not fit there and their keeper's got a concussion, I think he looked like he'd injured his back against us at one point, but I think he's got a concussion there. So Holy will be there purely to cover until he's back fit, because as soon as he's back fit, the emergency loan won't be able to be rolled over. So I guess we probably just get a little financial contribution for a player who's not going to be making any appearances. It helps keep him happy, maybe puts him in the shop window for January. So I think it suits all parties, really.
Thank you for Paul for the thumbs up. Michael, good day, Michael. Evening to the Australian contingent. Great to have you along. If you are out in far-flung parts of the world, we want to hear from you tonight, particularly asking, can he play a game for Ipswich? The limit's 3 clubs, isn't it?
Well, I don't know whether even emergency loans count on this, because last season, there were different rules last season with regards to being able to play more clubs because of the COVID thing. But Joseph Bursic, who's a Stoke City keeper, he started the season on loan at Doncaster. He went back to Stoke because they needed to recall him as an emergency loan. He then subsequently played on loan at Peterborough in an emergency loan for a few weeks. And then he also then played for Lincoln in the playoffs as well. So he actually played for 4 clubs last season, 2 of which on emergency loan. So it wouldn't surprise me if effectively, where Joseph Bursic was the go-to emergency loan last season, Thomas Holy may become the go-to emergency loan this season. That as soon as the League One team needs a keeper, he's the one that gets out there and plays for, and he could end up playing for three or four teams this season before Christmas even.
You wouldn't put it past him to make a contribution to our season perhaps as well. Interesting to see how he's getting on. Interesting start for him last night. We'll definitely talk more about that perhaps and my opinions on that. But we first need to say thank you to Bits, who's made a lovely contribution to help with our ever-expanding sponsorship, Nord, next year. Yeah, if he's still here, Bits. Yeah, I guess that. So thank you for that. All the details to that. If you're on YouTube, hit the super chat button. You can find that in the chat. And make a contribution if you'd like to. We always appreciate your support. It helps us do things. It has to be said, the sponsorship is actually Blue Monday funded. We keep everything properly and organised and stuff like that. So the team have funded that sponsorship. But a lot of people have said, if I'd known you were going to do that, I would have contributed in something like that. So you never know, but stranger things have happened. We'll keep that in mind for next season. But we are very happy to be sponsoring Abby Lafayette in the ITFC women's team for this season, and we wish them all the best. They head off to Plymouth on Sunday, just after the men do on Saturday. So, we want to hear from everyone in the chat. We've heard about Thomas Holy. What else do people want to hear about? Or Mark Cosgrove, from a wet Dublin, where my new town jersey cost me an extra £30 in customs duties. Oops, ouch, Mark. We feel your pain, Mark. Is there?
You should have maybe had it delivered to Belfast and crossed the border to pick it up.
There's some politics there that I don't think we want to get into. Evening to Gary, evening to Robert, the Facebook crew. Evening to Andy, first-time watcher. Love to have you here, Andy. Get involved in the chat. We want to hear from you. I guess the question I've got for folk, if we want to prompt some conversation, is next four league games are, if I remove the banner as well, then we can see everything. Plymouth away first, Wickham away second, Oxford at home sixth, Sunderland away fourth. Out of a possible 12 points, what are we saying, folks? I will come to Joe at the end, maybe. But clearly, Joe, a really tough run of games there. And we've been saying it pretty consistently now. It's now or never, really, if there's any aspirations to achieve anything this season, isn't it?
Yeah, and the next game after that is Rotherham as well. So it doesn't get any easier straight off the back of that. So our next five games are against the top six. I think without sort of saying automatic promotion is gone, I think we sort of have to realise as a fan base, automatic promotion is very unlikely. And we just need to ensure we're in a position where if we have a good second half of the season, we're comfortably in the playoffs. Now, I think if you look sort of sensibly at it, if you can be in a position where you're sort of at 1.5 points per game, so when you get to the midway point of the season, which is 23 games, you've got sort of at least 39 points on the board, I think you'll be okay. So, like I say, there's next. I'd include the Rotherham game in there just to be awkward, but of those five games, I think if you could pick up nine points or even 8 points, so sort of two wins and two draws, two wins, three draws, or three wins and two defeats. I think, like I say, if you could go two wins, two draws, and a defeat, I think you'd be pretty happy with that across those five games, because I don't think the teams would pull away from you a bit more.
Yeah, part of this is taking points off them as much as. Yeah, sticking our own points.
If you get out of that with just one defeat in that run, I think you'd be pretty happy.
Yep. Charlie D's got his finger on the pulse there, and I think this is possibly what you were looking into, Joe. Keith Downing has left Bristol City. Is he on his way here? We think probably not, don't we?
Yeah, I just had a look there, and both Keith Downing and Paul Simpson have left Bristol City, and they came across from sort of roles at the FA, England roles at the FA, and I think Paul Simpson had been the England under-20s manager when they won the World Cup previously, and they went in there to assist Dean Holden when he had the job there as first-team coaches. So it's not really something that I'd expect to come in from Bristol City, the first-team coaches, because it seems that side of the club is picked up in in Paul Cook's domain rather than Mark Ashton's domain. So I'm not, like I say, I obviously know zero about this. I'm just sort of speculating about it, but it doesn't seem that they're the sort of people that are sort of would come in with Ashton unless they're sort of earmarked for academy roles. But Paul Simpson's had sort of a lot of experience in sort of the senior side of the game. I'd be surprised on that one.
and with Peter Reid now on the scene as well. George, into George, more promising signs that Bond would be keen for a permanent move from the interview with Darren Bent. Yeah, for his birthday. Stay happy belated birthday to Macaulay Bond. And yeah, we're speaking, Joe, about a hypothetical derby against Norwich, wasn't he?
Yeah, and I think we all know that Macaulay Bond is desperate to sign here permanently, and I think he'd sort of walk over broken glass to do it. So it's just something that I say every Ipswich fan is hoping we get done. I've sort of had this premonition, a dream that on Christmas Day we have a tweet from the club announcing that on the 1st of January, the 1st of January, Macaulay Bond is signing a signing a permanent deal, and that would be a Christmas present for all Ipswich fans.
Well, that'd be good, wouldn't it?
Get your notifications on.
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. Good evening from Seoul. Once again, James, up very late doing paperwork to extend my visa here. Finished just in time. Evening, Monty. Happy days indeed. We are glad to have you with us. Bits fresh
Monty's
off the back
of his...
Monty's
also recruiting a Korean army, I think, as well.
He is. I saw the video. It's brilliant, Monty. Keep that going. I think Craig is off to Plymouth, isn't he? I was considering it for a while, but I've just become an uncle for the second time, so I'm going to catch up with my niece on the weekend. So I'm looking forward to that. So I won't be there, but I think Craig is flying the Blue Monday flag. So keep a lookout for him and say hello. Charlie, best wishes to Kieran. Oh, yeah, we tweeted out the same earlier on. Obviously, all of us super keen that Kieran Dyer gets well, and obviously not a huge amount of information there. We're obviously not going to speculate on that and respect the club's wishes and sure his family's wishes as well, but we definitely wish him all the best and hope that he can make a speedy recovery. So echo that, Charlie, for that. Thanks for that. Andrew, do you think Nord will leave? Shame, but he hasn't. He wasn't even at the game on Saturday, says Andrew. Yeah, Nord's situation.
Yeah, it does seem to be a strange one, doesn't it? Paul Cook seems very reticent to talk about it. There's obviously been rumours swirling around, but sort of couldn't comment on any of those or know anything about that. But I think it's pretty clear that James Norwood doesn't have a future at this football club from sort of how things have gone. I think probably the only reason he's here this season is because he was on a good wage, and the only club that would be able to afford that is probably another decent... sort of a decent League One team, and why would we want to send a player that we know can score goals to one of our rivals? I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if come January he ends up on loan at a League Two team, probably by that point. Yeah. Salford or Swindon or someone with a bit of money at that level.
Colyu.
Probably yeah, not Colyu.
No, but it's, as you say, it's Sod's law that we let him go on the cheap to another League One club and he tears it up. That would not be a surprise. Michael is pitching us 7 points from the next possible 12. EJ's going full whack. I mean, the confidence
love to see that, EJ.
Is there now, isn't it? And, you know, something that you guys debate in the pod, we've long debated, and it'll be fascinating to see this, is whether our style of play is more conducive to getting points against teams that are less likely to sit back against us. It will be interesting. Plymouth on Saturday will be fascinating. Tune into the pre-match show Friday night, where Seb and I will be drilling into Plymouth and trying to find some chinks in the armour. But it will be interesting to see if that's possible, Joe. And there's nothing to say it isn't. You know, confidence should be high, and we are scoring goals, aren't we? So, and we are now keeping them out the other end as well. Evening to Rob. Lord Runnell is happy with 6. I guess that's 2 points a game, isn't it? So that's
one of those ones. It's difficult to know what order the games come in as well, because if you have 6 points in 12 games, if you win against Plymouth and win against Wickham, then you'll be really disappointed for 6. But if you lose the next two, but...
Yeah, I agree. Context is all. If we want automatic promotion, says Chris, even it's Chris Rand from non-exotic Cambridge, it's got to be 10 or more points from those 5 games. Yeah, he's going for the 2 points per game. Yeah, it was 8 points rather than 6 points, wasn't it? So maths, brilliant. If we take each game at a time, we have, come on, get the cliches out. We'll take every game as it comes, but we do have the ability to win all the games. I think he's agreeing there.
We've got 32 cup finals left.
We do. Skip's going for 8 or 9 points from the next 5. Gary's going for a similar amount there. Evening to Brad. First time watcher, just from Ipswich. Nothing wrong with being from Ipswich. Ipswich is the best. Now I live here, I can absolutely say that. So nothing wrong with that at all, Brad. Get involved in the chat. We want to hear from you. Any thoughts about the next few runs of games or anything else ITFC related? Get it in the chat, folks. And we'll put it, Joe on the spot as always. EJ's revised 10. I mean,
I'll still take enough. 10 from 4.
Folding under questioning there. Chris Robinson, am I right in thinking we were top this time last season? Surely there will be teams above us who will fall away as we did. Still all to play for. Again, something we speculated on the pod. I don't know, is that to a
point? I don't think we'd have been top this time last. Maybe this date, because the season started later.
Let me see if I can find the league table from last year.
We'd started, well, the first six we'd won 5, hadn't we? But things sort of drifted up from that point. But teams above us will fall away. But I think the problem is there's sort of Wigan, Sunderland, Plymouth, Rotherham and Wickham have all started well. I know Wigan are on a little bit of a sticky patch. I think sort of 3 from 5 they've lost now. So teams will slide away, but it's a difficult one, and it's a hope that they all do. But I think sort of if you would, like I say, look at Chris, if you look at the bookies odds and the stats and history, it's really against us for automatic promotion this year. But if we can go on a good winning run against top teams in the league, then we've got a chance of getting there. But I don't know, we're just a long way off at the moment. And I think, like, I would, if somebody offered me a sort of fourth or fifth place at the moment, I'd bite your hand off for it. I think
I've just got the league table from this time last year. Let's put it out there, because if not, it's important to address your point as well, Joe, about teams that, you know, who were up there and stayed around there. So we know that Hull ended up going up, Peterborough ended up going up. But we know that who was in the playoffs in the end? Lincoln,
Blackpool,
certainly were, weren't
Oxford,
they?
Oxford, weren't they?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's some teams that fell away there. Plymouth, there or thereabouts, they fell away last season, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Ended up mid-table. So we were third at that point on the back of 6 wins out of 9. Obviously, the season started a little bit late. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to compare that. Bless you, Joe. Off camera there. I've called you out there. So, yeah, interesting thought that from Chris. John, evening to John and the fabulous ITFC Southwest Supporters Branch, who I'm sure are doing something amazing down in the Southwest for the Plymouth game and have a new flag as well, I think. So let us know all about that, John, in the chat, if you will. But we've retweeted it early as well. But great opportunity, as he says, Joe, to take points off the teams above us.
I know it's still too early in the season to say, oh, it's all in our own hands, because it's in everyone's hand. I think if Crewe, who are bottom of the league, won all their games, they'd get 100 points between now and the end of the season. So technically it's in their hands. But if we want to go up, we've got to, and this has been the issue in previous seasons, prove that we can get results against the better teams in the league. Yeah. The only time we seemed to do that was when Matt Gill took charge for a couple of games at the tail end of Lambert's reign. So hopefully this is a time where we prove we can win some of the games. I say no one's expect us to go to Plymouth and win, go to Wickham and win, beat Oxford, sort of go to Sunderland and win, and beat Rotherham as well. It's just simply not going to happen. We're not going to win all 5. But if we can sort of win 3 of those games, pick up a point in another, maybe lose one, I think every fan would be delighted with that run. And it's just about proving that we can compete with the best teams in this league, because we can show that. Then I'd say if we can go into the playoffs, no one's going to want to play us in there, are they?
No, exactly right. And it's momentum, but you also want to have had some confidence by beating some of those teams as well. And you kind of got the sense that even if we stuck into the playoffs the last 2 seasons, we just wouldn't have been able to turn up with any confidence against those teams. Andrew, I've been to 3 Ipswich ladies games this season with grandson Ronnie. Now I know what you both look like. I'll say hello. Please do say hello. Yeah. I'm there most weeks, and hopefully Joe will be a regular visitor now he's figured out the logistics for it as well. So yeah, I'm very welcome to say hello and tell us about the game, and always good to meet up with folk in real life rather than here on chat and stuff like that. Chris, who do we think will be the top, the 2 to beat when it comes to automatic promotion? Can't help but think Plymouth and Wickham will revert to the mean, and it'll be Sunderland and maybe Wigan. Well, I thought Wickham have got a bit of a stature now in this division, have they?
I think, personally for me, I think Wickham and Rotherham, I just think those 2 teams just seem relentless with how they play. They're such difficult sides to play against. You don't ever really have an easy game against teams like that. And like I say, I know Plymouth have started really well. And like I say, you look at that sort of goal difference plus 13, only one defeat. I think at home they've won six and drawn two. They've got a brilliant record. But I don't know, if you look at the bookies odds, we're still shorter odds to finish in the top two than Plymouth are at the moment. So that they obviously expect them to fall away a little bit. But I don't know, it just seems Rotherham and Wickham, I hope that they wouldn't be good this year, because Wickham are just such an awful side to watch, to play against. I'm dreading playing them Tuesday. Like I say, it's one of those games that, in the sort of words of Mick McCarthy, I think if you'd have given me a 0-0, I wouldn't even bother getting on the bus for it, because it's... Yeah. If someone could guarantee me the game's a draw, I wouldn't even bother paying my iFollow or watching the game, because it is just going to be a horrible watch to watch them just slowing the game down, diving, cheating in the ref's ear all game.
Yeah. Long balls into the box and all that kind of fun stuff. Yeah, the dark arts. Ball in play for 38 minutes of the game and stuff like that. I know we have a big game every week, but I feel if we don't win at Plymouth, then we are looking at playoffs at best. Win at Plymouth, then the winning game is even bigger. So can the players take this? Yeah.
Well, hopefully that's why we've signed these players, isn't it? To take these sort of situations.
November massive for EJ. Yeah, I think this is, make or break potentially. Michael, why have we signed Bourne? He's on a one game scoring drought. Didn't come close either on Saturday as well, Michael. So well,
can you tell the negotiators at QPR that as well, Michael?
Well, half the fee.
And he's a year older now as well. That must knock his fee down a bit.
Adam, fingers crossed we can make a real statement in the next 5-7 games. Keep up the good works. Gents, I mean, we're only as good as the questions, the observations that you guys have made.
Like I say, also this season, I think we have had a pretty soft start to the season when you look at who we've played. That it has been the sort of weaker teams. Sort of, there's probably, when you looked at the fixture list at the start of the season, these first few games, probably it's only Sheffield Wednesday, Lincoln and Portsmouth that you'd expect to be up there at the end of the season. So we have had a good, but it's difficult to know, is it good that we've played weaker teams and we're now where we are, or would we have preferred to have sort of got those results out of the way against the stronger teams? And then if we were in this position now with a run of weak teams coming, I think we'd be looking at thinking we could win five out of the next five here. But
it's tricky to know.
It's an interesting one, isn't it? But we just need to get to that midpoint of the season and see where we are. And I think if we're in a decent spot there.
Yeah. Well, we'll be covering all of this. We'll be back for the flagship show as usual on Monday morning, talking through the Plymouth result. We've also got the pre-match show, as I mentioned, with Seb and I, going out live Friday at 8 p.m. So do join us for that. We are trying to find as much intel and insights as we can to figure out how you defeat Plymouth and how it is their form is so good. Next week, we've got this usual show. We will probably, if we can do it, do a live show straight after the full-time whistle, if we haven't fallen asleep, to Joe's point, in the Wickham game. And as usual, the normal sort of drumbeat of shows, Friday for the pre-match, Monday for the flagship. So do join us for that. All the details, all the stuff you need to know, whether that's where to find us on YouTube, on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter. We have a website, bluemondayitfc.co.uk. All the details you need are on there. So go and give us a visit there. Let's get back to the chat. And Bits isn't happy. I've got Craig already. Photos wise, this is worse than Panini stickers. I'm sorry. Who do you need? And then we'll
And who's a shiny?
Who's the shiny? There you go. That's a question for the chat. The Blue Monday Panini stickers. Who's the shiny? Who's the one you need? And who's the one you keep getting? If it's Craig, it's Craig. That's fine. Tractor Boy 72. Important stuff. We need more pumps in the marquee in the fan zone. I'm in the queue for a pint longer than it takes to drink it. Direct that to I think there's a supporter survey that's just come around to some people.
Real issues. Advice, buy two pints at a time would be my greatest advice there.
Or go to the Greyhound.
Like in a busy pub when the football's on.
Go to the Greyhound, the best pre-match and post-match venue in Ipswich, Fonero Road, Henley Road, Junction thingy. There you go. Sorted. EJ's glass is half full. I think all of our glasses are half full. Saturday result, Ipswich 3, Plymouth 1, said Robert, liking the optimism. Cornish, hard to say.
I think Tractor Boy 72's glass is half full. He's still waiting at the bar for it.
He's not. Yeah, it's not even started. Cornish, hard to say what will be the toughest game. Rotherham look like they're really clicking. Wickham is tough. Wickham is tough because of the journey down to Plymouth.
I wonder, do we stay somewhere in the West Country after the game? Does Mark, obviously Mark Ashton knows the area well. I know when we played, was it Fleetwood? I can't remember. When we played, sorry, Accrington, we stayed up in Manchester. We travelled up there on the Thursday, stayed up there Thursday night, trained Friday, had the game Saturday. Do we travel down to Plymouth Saturday, stay down there Sunday, travel nearer to Wickham Monday and do that? Or do we come back and travel up there on the day of the game? Like I said, we've obviously, as a club, got the finances to sort of fund these overnight stays, and maybe that's a good opportunity to do one, because I think going to Plymouth, coming back all the way back there for Sunday, Sunday's a write-off. Monday, you've got to be coming in, and then you're probably not even going to be able to train on Monday with that travelling back Sunday, and then you're straight up there Tuesday. Do we try and find somewhere? Does Mark Ashton use his contacts in that area of the world to try and get to training base sorted so we stay down there for a day or so?
Bristol City. Yeah, there you go. We'll stay at John Banger's in the Southwest Supporters Group. They'd all put... We'll have a player each to put up in their houses. That's what we want.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Whether you need a VPN to protect your world online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kieran McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsey, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Gary, quite rightly, talks about Wigan getting beaten last night. No bad thing. Certainly anything to...
I suppose the only thing, bad thing potentially is that Lincoln clicking into a bit of form as well, because it sounded like they played really well. So they've had a slow start to the season, but how much of that is linked to sort of the issues, sort of their illness and what Michael Appleton suffered with over the summer, which has made them start slowly? Are they going to be a team that comes into a bit of form?
Yeah, I mean, it was a draw and a loss in their last two matches before that victory, so they're not in pulsating form, but you're right, it's another threat, isn't it? Adam, club is really developing nicely. Johnson said it might not happen this season, which, although obviously disappointing, you can see there's a vision, there is something tangible to get behind for once. Come on, you Blues. Yeah, I think we all agree with that. Definitely a strategy.
Yeah, well, the club is going in the right direction, isn't it? And that's the first time we can say that definitively for a long time.
Taking points from the top six, a skip is key if we want promotion. We haven't done that since we've been in League One. Key question is, can Paul Cook change that? Yeah. Interesting conversation.
Paul Cook will be changed if he doesn't. Exactly right. No, yeah. I've got faith that he will be able to.
Yeah. And unlike other managers, but Paul Cook has got experience. I've harked back to the Wigan Man City Cup tie. You know, he knows how to sometimes get a result in those bigger games. And Wigan didn't play the nicest of football that night, got in their faces, didn't they? So you never know. There might be a strategy there. I hope so, because it was something that Paul Lambert never really got right. Evening to fishing with Nick. Lots of travelling for the next 5 and against top teams, a real test. Yeah, that travelling keeps coming back, isn't it? And logistics not great. Sunderland away obviously is in that mix as well. Pretty much the longest trip of the season if it's not Plymouth. So, yeah, some tough parts of that. Michael, who do we think will be the wide players v Plymouth? I'm going for Burns and Selena. Thoughts on that, Joe?
I guess you probably have to look at it with one eye on the... Who are you going to play at Wickham? sort of, and then sort of work back from there, because you're probably going to need to make changes on that. But I think our strongest at the moment, as much as I've really liked Wes Burns and what he's brought to the side, I think having Sonny Aluko on that right-hand side does just allow us to build play higher up the pitch.
Yeah.
And but does Cook want one sort of winger that's going to come inside and one flyer, so it gives you Aluko and Edwards, or does he want sort of Salina on the left and maybe Burns on the right, or do you have the sort of two ball players, which is effectively Aluko and Salina there? But like I say, it's options, but you'd imagine it's going to be Aluko and Burns on the right, or and then Salina or Edwards on the left.
Yeah.
With Chaplin sort of nailed on as a 10, but where does that leave Scott Fraser? I don't know. Where is he fit at the moment?
I'd be surprised if Salina's goal massively changes anything, because you guys talked about it on the flagship. It did feel like he unsettled us defensively. Edwards actually does quite a lot of tracking back, and I do think you lose that a little bit with Salina. The goal was obviously important, but I don't think he'd made a massive contribution in the 10.
No, but you'd imagine Salina is going to start one of the next two games, wouldn't you? At least next two games, wouldn't you?
And what you don't want to do, and it's to Cornish's point here, is no one will fancy facing Chaplin, Salina and Bono. And Chaplin, you don't want to, you know, as you said, and Gary Roberts said, he's figured out that number 10 position out the best of anyone. So you've got to do the best with him, haven't you, that you can. Very quick mention to Skip. Thank you so much, Skip. £5 in the super chat. Keep up the great work, guys. Thank you, Skip. And always a frequent flyer on these live shows. We appreciate your input as well, Skip. Always really intelligent, useful insights to help drive us the debate, either this show or the pre-match show. So we appreciate you as well. So thank you so much, Skip. If you want to do likewise, the super chat button is there. Also head to the website. We talked about it before, Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk. All of the stuff to support the channel is also available on there. Let's see if
just,
I can
just
get
one
back.
Thing as well before we move on too quickly. It's the FA Youth Cup. First round of that tomorrow evening. And we've got a tie against Wilmslow United in the first round of the Youth Cup.
Where the footballers live.
And they are, I think they're in the equivalent of like the SIL League or the Furlough Nun League, the sort of same level as like Ipswich Wanderers, that sort of level. So it is it's probably the smallest club left in the draw against one of the biggest and probably the best sort of Youth Cup record left with our semi-finals last year and three previous wins. So it's it should be, like I say, without sort of sounding disrespectful, it should be a very comfortable victory for the youth tomorrow, it depends what team they put out. But that is a 7 o'clock kickoff at Portman Road, £3 for adults, £1 for concessions. It won't be being streamed live. So if you want to watch the youngsters in action, head along to Portman Road tomorrow night.
Yep, going down to Portman Road. Yeah, good shout. Thank you for that, Joe. And we'll talk about that certainly pre-match show or the flagship on Sunday. Get your last minute thoughts. We've got probably about another 5-10 minutes to go on this one, so we want to hear from you. We'll end with some shouts and some predictions, so get those in there. We'll try and find those, but some questions, Joe, to put you on the spot. Robert asks, how many will we sign in the January transfer window? Already looking ahead to post Christmas.
It does feel like we've still got a couple of gaps in the squad, doesn't there, where sort of John Nolan just doesn't really look like he's going to be playing a part. I think somebody else has mentioned that. And sort of, do we need another central midfielder in there? Because if Sam Morsi gets injured, do we have another battler to play that role? Do we need somebody to back him up? Is he going to be going to the African Nations? I know he was in the preliminary squad previously for Egypt, but didn't make the final squad. I think we probably need another option up front if, like I say, James Norwood doesn't seem to be the option. Kanan Jackson is not suited to that system, that if Macaulay Bond does get injured or Joe Piggott does get injured, we're very light up front. I think as evidenced in the last couple of games where Joe Piggott wasn't available after the death of his father. And he looked at the bench and there just isn't an option for Bond to come off and go up front. You need someone who can play that role. But I'd say, I think there's a few options in there, maybe even sort of another right back there. I know we've got Dinashian and sort of he's playing really well, and Vincent Young hasn't really had an opportunity or hasn't taken his opportunities, I should say, but we'll see.
Thoughts on JG's question, what does the future hold for Fraser?
I don't know, it's a strange one, Fraser, because he's a player that when I think whenever anyone puts their strongest team together, no one seems to include Fraser in it, but yet whenever he's fit, he started nearly every game, and it's one where does he become the backup to Chaplin as a 10? Is he capable of playing that role there? Because on the left, I don't see how he's going to dislodge anyone in the wide roles when you look at sort of Edward Salina, but he looks like a player who's going to play a key role for us this season still and has started to, but I just don't see where he fits in at the moment, but I'm sure Paul Cook will find a way to utilise him.
I'm still in the Scott Fraser fan club, but I think we'll get injuries at some point, as you say, won't we? So, Chris here mentions Wigan losing. Sunderland, fortuitously, it has to be said, got through in the Carabao Cup last night to QPR, didn't they? So Sunderland have got the distraction of another cup competition. That is going to be important. We bemoan sometimes going out of the cups quite early, but the fixtures do rack up this time of year when you've got the FA Cup next weekend as well, Joe.
Especially if you have a draw and you get a replay from that game and just one more game, isn't it? So I'd like to have a decent FA Cup run and like to get to the sort of third or fourth round in that, which is sad to say that's a decent FA Cup run to get to the third round. But I think it'd be not like Oldham, you've got to beat them at home, don't you? They're a crisis club. And then you're still going to be one of the favourites in the next round. But hopefully we can sort of AFC get some tie in that and round. Get through there.
Yep. And Bod, they're not. We've played a lot of teams that park the bus. Do you think that will fare? Is that... fair as in bus fair? No, better against the teams they want to play. I think we can hurt teams that allow us to counter. Yeah, I think that's something we were talking about at the start.
Teams would have more quality against us, and we haven't found it easy keeping the ball out of our net so far. So I think there's swings and roundabouts to that view there. But I say we'll see. I think we've got nothing to fear going up against any side in this league. It's just a case of trying to make sure we can come out on top in the sort of tight balance games.
Agree. Skip, do you think we can play Chaplin, Burns and Aluko together as they seem to be in form three behind Bond? It'd be interesting.
I'd agree that they're the in-form three, but I don't see that. I think for me, Burns and Aluko are both right wingers, and I think you have to go either or on that side. I did look into Aluko's history, and he's only played on the left, I think, 11 times in the last decade since he's left Aberdeen when he left there. So where he's made his name, just sort of Fulham, Reading, Hull, he's always played on either the right or as a second striker or up front. So he is very much seen that one. I think, like I say, you take Chaplin out of Burns, Aluko, Salina, Fraser, Edwards. I think Burns and Aluko are the two who seem to have grabbed their opportunity with both hands, but I think they're fighting for one place, really. So we'll see.
Chaplin is amazeballs, says Bits. Chaplin is superb, says Skip. He's always going to be different class level, top-end championship player. Talked about John Nolan, thoughts of him playing again. Andrew's not a fan.
He just seems to be permanently injured, doesn't he? He got injured on the first day that Paul Cook took training, when he was appointed in sort of February, March time. And then he was injured the first day of pre-season. Then he came back and was on the bench in the EFL Trophy game against West Ham. And then he was injured after that, and it seems like he's out till after Christmas, it sounds like. So I don't know what the issues are, but they just seem strange for somebody who's probably one of our sort of fittest players, a player that can run and run all day, just can't seem to shake off injuries at the moment.
The shiny, going back to our sticker debate, is the diamond, spelt D-Y-M-O-N-D for future reference Bits, but I know who you meant. That's fine. I think we'd probably all agree Dave Diamond is the shiny, never mind. Maybe one day, you never know.
I saw Dave heading out for a walk earlier tonight.
Well, there you go. Spotted, papped. Bits, you missed your opportunity. David Hughes, do you guys have any fear playing Plymouth this Saturday, even though they're top, and I'm going there for the win? I have no fear playing anyone, Dave, because I'm rubbish, and I just go in all guns blazing. But I think to the point, should we have anything to fear, I guess, is the question.
No, we shouldn't have anything to fear wherever we go. But you have to treat these teams with the respect they deserve. And whilst Plymouth may not have the biggest name, they're top of the league on merit. And they're playing some really good football, scoring a lot of goals and look good. And so the interesting dynamic, I think, is that Ryan Lowe, I think, is one of Paul Cook's best friends, or certainly Scouse one of his mafia close friends in the game, another member of the Scouse Mafia. And there were sort of pictures of them when they were going to like the European Cup final, and they're sort of following Liverpool around Europe, that Cook and Lowe sort of taking time off managerial jobs to jump on a plane and see the Red Men out in Europe on their away games. They're obviously really, really good friends, and be interesting to see whether that works as a disadvantage or an advantage. But yeah, I guess it's one of those ones that it'll be judged in hindsight, won't it? That if we win, it was because Paul Cook's got his number, and if we lose, it's because Ryan Lowe's got Paul Cook's number.
Yeah. Charlie D, I'd love to see Piggott come in with some goals this season. Yeah, so would I. I feel sorry for Piggott to an extent. Difficult start for him, and probably not. I always tended to think that he was in a lone frontman role for Wimbledon, but I might be wrong there. But
he tended to play off the lone frontman. I think when we played him last time, he played off the striker there. But I think Joe Piggott will do well for us this season. He'll score us some goals. I'm sure of. He's already got a couple, hasn't he? When he's had the opportunity. But ultimately, Macaulay Bond is just give it. Even when you take out his goals, Macaulay Bond gives us so much energy at that top end of the field. But like I say, when we play two games in 3 days, as we're doing next week, you want to be Joe Piggott coming on for the last 20 minutes, half an hour against Plymouth and Wickham to ensure that you don't just run Macaulay Bond into the ground, don't you? That's what the squad is for, not just to kill the sort of main players. You need these players to give them relief, and if Piggott comes off the bench and scores a couple of goals, then he's going to be putting the pressure on Bond to start games.
And there's a good chance he starts against Oldham, and hopefully, you know, bags a couple and builds his confidence there as well. EJ, Norwich get battered everywhere they go. Yeah, enjoyed that chant as well. Albeit it's in the Premier League rather than League One, but never mind. EB, buzzing to get tickets to Wickham. Hopefully no press testers on the M25. Otherwise interesting journey. Wickham's always, do your research on parking or getting to the ground in Wickham. It is not a fun journey. I've got history there. I'm not going back.
For anyone who hasn't been before, basically the ground is at the very end of an industrial estate. So you turn up and then you sort of drive up to the ground, and all of a sudden you realise you're just in a huge industrial estate with the ground the very, very last thing in there. So if there's a way of parking outside the industrial estate, you may find you get away a tiny bit quicker at the end of the game, maybe probably an hour.
You need to arrive 2 hours early because the residents seem to all park there as well. So do your research on Wickham. There you go. There's some consumer advice. EJ starting with the same team that ended or started the game. EJ, do you want to qualify that one? We'll definitely get some thoughts on that on the pre-match show Friday at 8 p.m. live and available on demand shortly thereafter. Skip, Aluko helps us keep and recycle the ball. Yeah, versus Burns, I think Aluko did really well, and I don't think anyone's picked up on it, so I feel really clever saying this. Aluko draws the defender away from Chaplin for the first goal on Saturday, actually. Aluko's really smart, distracts the defender to Chaplin, drops in to get the space to get the ball, and then turns and has a shot for the excellent first goal. So watch that on the video. I think I might have spotted something very clever.
Yeah, Aluko's running sort of off the ball. There's a lot of unnoticed runs he makes, which drags defence out of the place. Even that sort of ball, sort of early in the half, where Dinashian fires a ball into Chaplin's feet, that ball is open because Aluko's pulled a marker off as well there. So he's a very intelligent player, and sort of seemed to be, for a player that probably looked like the weakest sign, is now becoming the strongest, one of the sort of the best. He was one when he signed, everyone was like, why on earth have we done this? But
let's power through these, Joe. Final few, and then we will call it an evening. Brad, so happy with your new ownership. Didn't realise how much Evans had stripped out of the club as far as the jobs were concerned. Great to see this addressed early on with the job.
That's definitely very, very true, that is.
Yeah. And Stark, once you see all these appointments being made, so many were needed and off the field as well. Michael Cillian seems better from the start as he takes time to get into the game. Edwards is on the front foot from the off, so maybe better as an impact sub. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, no, I agree with both parts of that from what we've seen this season.
Yep. EB getting in there with wishes for Kieran Dyer as well. Yeah, just to reiterate that, we've not talked about that. I know there's some chat about what the situation is there. We know as much as the club have put out there in their statement, so we don't want to speculate any more there, but we're wishing Kieran Dyer all the very best, and kindly spoke to us in the summer as well, got a lot of interesting things to say about football, and did a really great chat with Phil and Ben, so we definitely wish him
well worth going back and having a listen to that if anyone hasn't.
Agree. Brad, I love Edwards in those early games, but I think he's getting back to speed off his injury. Then that's fair enough as well. That is a large gin and orange, Joe, says David. No, professional, surely, Joe.
Yeah, no, it's a vodka and orange.
There you go. David's going for a 2-0 win. He's going.
I would love that.
We wish all the best for those travelling down all the way to Plymouth. Almost 1,500, I'd think. So cracking away to support that. EB also going for a 2-0. Let's keep a clean sheet here. What else have we got? I'd sign Matete, says Fishing with Nick, as a backup for Morsi. Yeah.
Oh, without a doubt. If we can get hold of him, do it.
Yep, agree with that. Robert, still feeling positive. It's which will finish in the top two this season, Robert. We will find out. We can only speculate. We can only try and predict. So, who knows what might happen.
When we look at the next, we've been speaking about the next four or five games. I think by the end of that, we'll know one way or another whether there's a chance of it happening or no chance at that point.
Yeah. Stephen, shame the Plymouth game isn't on iFollow. Yeah. 2-1 Town is his prediction. Come on, you Blues. And Fraser return on Saturday. We suspect probably not, Joe.
Yeah, no, I it's difficult to get any information about what is going on with injuries at the moment, isn't it? But we don't know what the situation is with him. But I think to go from not even on the bench, we'll see.
We will find out. Skip's going for a 3-1 Towan win. Tight first up, and we step it up again second half. We do need to score when we're on top, though. If we've learned anything from the Fleetwood game where we almost got, found out there. Andrew's going for a 2-1 win Saturday. Chaplin for the brace. What a great signing he's been after a slow start. Really intelligent footballer. Michael seems to be playing a bit more of a long ball game. Big kicks from the goalkeeper, longer forward throws from the fullbacks. Thoughts on that, Joe?
Yeah, really, it's a little bit more. It's a little bit more direct, isn't it? Which I think we need sometimes, because we have passed the ball about sort of in the early games between the back four without really showing any intent to sort of break lines and get forward. So moving the ball quicker is definitely something I'm sort of happy to see.
Lee, I'm from Oldham, but a Town supporter of my life. We should beat Oldham. Our giant killers. If we beat, we are giant killers, probably. We both got as terrible a record, I think, in the FA Cup of late as each other. Do you think Cook is waiting to see what happens this season at Wigan regards to Richardson? I think the ship has sailed, isn't it?
Well, for at least for the short term.
Yeah, when we're in the Premier League, maybe. Evening to Jules. Evening to you, Jules. Thanks for joining us.
Another grandson for Jules as well.
Yeah, congrats, Jules. Another tractor boy, I think it was. Very much congrats to you and the family. David, what do you think QPR would accept as a fee in for Bonn in January? 2 million plus.
Whoa. I think it'll be nearer to 1 million. I think if we can get sort of 1, 1.25 million, somewhere around that sort of region. I looked at, I say Skip's made the point, there's not much money in the Championship right now. I think there was only 37 transfer fees paid by Championship clubs this summer across the whole division, two of which were Andre Dizel and Flynn Downs. But there's just such little money there because of COVID. It's just absolutely destroyed what was already an absolute basket case of division.
Yep. And I think it's really easy for Bond's price to be reflective of the value that we all see in him. He's in League One scoring goals.
But he's a 26-year-old striker who's scoring a few goals in League One. If he was 21 scoring this many goals, people would be thinking, well, if he does this again in the Championship, he could be worth sort of Jared Bowen money of like 20 million. But realistically, he's not going to get a move to the Premier League. The only way he's going to play in the Premier League is if he gets promoted into it, because unless he scores 25 goals for us in the Championship
at
28, 29 years old. But those sort of players just don't tend to get signed by Premier League clubs, do they? So there's not a huge amount of resale value buying a 26-year-old for over £1 million, is there? So hopefully these things play into our hands, because he's a player you just want to get there and sign, get him through the door and have him as your number 18 for the next 3 or 4 years and see what he does.
That interview with TalkSport goes out Friday, I think, with Darren Bent. There's a preview clip that we've retweeted, so keep a lookout for that. I'm going to skip through a few of these questions because they're probably long play questions, and we are slowly timing out. Andres is going for a 1-0. Jules is going for a draw and a piss up for the legend Paul Mariner. Yeah, definitely. There's thing on Sunday night as well, isn't there? So 3-2 Toto to Store? Call from a corner would be good. 1-0 or 2-1 for us, says Lee. Enjoy the rest of your evening, says Robert. Come on, you Blues. 5-4, Ipswich winner in 90+3, says Julian.
Don't think my
Julian.
Heart can take that.
Bits go for a 5-0, come on. What else have we got? Can I watch in the Canary Islands heading off? That was just an excuse, David, to talk about going to the Canary Islands. But yes, you
I don't think I don't think any Ipswich fan should be going to the Canary Islands, though. So I think you may need to change your holiday destination.
Well done,
David.
Joe. You got to the important matters there. Yeah, be careful. No yellow and green on your holiday there. Bits, has Wilson been playing for Plymouth? Find out on Friday with me and Steph on the pre-match show live on here.
Oh, what a link from the host.
Boom. 8 p.m. and then on demand shortly thereafter. Andrew, thanks for tonight. Really enjoyed it. Thank you guys for enjoying and participating in the conversation, giving Joe something to answer. Michael, I hope it's on I Follow. Yeah, it's definitely there. And great sales pitch to QPR, Joe. Keep it up. So there you go. That is your lot. I say we are back on Friday with the pre-match show. And back on Monday with the flagship show. As always, you can find us and all our details, bluemondayitfc.co.uk. All the details you need are there. Our socials, our YouTube, our audio feeds, all the good stuff is there. Thank you for everyone who contributed, either a question or observation, and those of you who were kind enough to support us using the Super Chat. We really appreciate that. Thanks for the thumbs up over on Facebook. Stephen's got involved with the thumbs over there. Joe, I'm going to hand over to you to say goodbye.
Everyone, just if you can get along to the under-18s game tomorrow at Portman Road, good chance to give the boys some support. I'm sure they'll be grateful for it, and hopefully a chance to see an Ipswich team stick a few goals past someone.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nugget and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.